This is the Two Marketeers podcast, where hosts and marketing experts Sean Patrick and Lindsay Waugh seek to uncover what makes brands so powerful and how they impact modern society and culture. Can I just
say good morning? Good morning.
Good morning. I just got to tell you guys, we do the countdown and Lindsay's hilarious. And we decided to do this thing where instead of the director's like clap thing, she claps, but she does it when she does it. Her tongue sticks out. I don't know if you know that.
I know. There's three activities where my tongue sticks out like one of those.
Yeah, like a concentration thing.
Yeah, when I am putting on mascara, tongue out. During an entire Pilates class, tongue out.
Really?
And when I clap at this, the beginning of each recording. So, you know.
That is so specific.
Yeah, it's the concentration. I don't know why.
Oh, guys, you got to see the video. Okay.
I don't know. Let's get serious. This is a serious podcast about marketing. Right.
Hey, I have a few tips. I got a few tips for you.
Okay. Give me a tip.
It's the best I have. It's just my segue. We're going to talk
about
it.
That was it? Yeah. You don't actually have tips?
No. We're not tipping, remember?
In certain scenarios, it is baloney. Let's get into it. What tip? What are we talking about? Tips?
Tip. I think they call it tip fatigue. And they call it
tip fatigue.
No, tip fatigue and guilt tipping. Guilt tip. Go on a guilt tip. I think that was a good one.
I'm always on a guilt tip.
Always.
It's the worst.
The shame. I am ashamed in that moment of my brand experience and I don't like it.
Same.
Right?
The shame is making me tip.
We're at a tipping point. Thank you, Malcolm.
We're at a tipping point. Okay, so why are we talking about tips?
Let's talk about the point of tips. What's the point? And I think that's the issue.
Okay, so I, as someone who used to work in the hospitality industry for many years, was always told that you pay for things and you tip for service.
Yes.
So like you, in a restaurant example, you pay for food, you tip on service.
And who are you tipping?
The person providing the service, specifically.
The server.
Correct. The server. And now...
fast forward to this week.
To the biggest guilt tip, tipping is out of control.
Yeah. I think of it as the hangover from the new normal.
Do you remember the tip jar? Like your local coffee shop, there would be like a little tip jar where you just like throw in 50 cents or something when you get a coffee. I don't know.
Your change. You throw in your change. It's a win-win. It's it's Roundup. I don't want change in my pocket, especially when loonies and toonies came out. It's like, I don't want coins. So sometimes, and it's, you know, the word I use is it's discretionary.
Yes. But now with the old tap, the tap tip, tippity tap tipping, you tap for your coffee and now you are presented with like a 20% gratuity on your coffee. That's like a lot.
I was at Walmart the other day, and although tipping wasn't an option, although how long before it is, I bought my stuff self-checkout. I'm totally a convert to self-checkout now. Maybe it's because I don't have kids at home and I don't have as much stuff, but I'll do it myself.
I have them and I still don't want to talk to anybody. I go out, I'm not talking to anybody.
Yeah. And four prompts, the fourth being, okay, you can pay now. Did I want to donate to a charity? I think they called it rounding up. And it wasn't just that. Do you want to select amount or do you want to pick a preset amount? Then you're like, no, like I bought two things. I think it was $9. And then it was like, do I want to save? If I signed up for said credit card associated with said retailer, no, I don't. And then last but not least, I think they're asking me if I wanted to buy bags.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go to the, here it's called the LCBO, but the liquor store, and it's not a transaction. They ask you, do you want to donate? And I'm like, no.
Do you feel like in that moment you have to tell them that you would already? So what I do is usually at one point I'll do like a big tip, like not a big tip, but a big donation. So like say it's Christmas and then I'll put like $50 or something instead of doing like $2 every time. I always feel like I have to tell them that.
Time. Oh, that just makes me uncomfortable.
When they're like, do you want to donate? I'm like, oh no, I donated last time. Like I feel like otherwise they're going to be like, you're spending a bunch of money on wine, which you clearly don't need. And you don't want to give $2 to the food bank. And I was like, I gave a lot last time. I feel like I have to pre-justify it.
Yeah, like talk about your,
like they don't care. They're like, okay.
Oh, what did we call it? It was on a podcast I listened to about tipping, and he called it psychological warfare.
It is. When you said that to me, I wholeheartedly agree. I am under attack.
You are messing with my mind. And what we do as humans is defense, right? So Lindsay says, I already gave. After probably, think of the times you just do it because you just don't need the angst, you know?
I know.
And then there's me who's like, no, thank you. I just had to get there. I'm like, no, thank you.
You're just letting the food bank survive on their own.
Wow. See how you just made me feel? Thanks.
That's a guilt tip. I think I need to start getting ahead of it, like wearing a button on my jacket that says I donated already, or like I get up to them and they're like, would you like a box? Because yes, I have enough to fit in a box. And I say, yes, and so you know, I already tipped last time.
For me specifically in that scenario, I am tired of feeling bad about it, but I mean, you still feel bad, but clearly I don't feel, I've gotten further on it than you have. Hi, you know what? Here's my tax refund from this year. Clearly on line 103, I have donated.
Yeah. The times when I am over it and I've had to get over it because it still bothers me is that like coming out of the pandemic, the cost of salon services, I feel like went through the roof, like skyrocketed, as well as other type of personal care services. Mm-hmm. But now I find also because those things are so expensive, the automatic tipping associated with it is also then very expensive. So now that those services are so expensive, if I do the automatic 20% or whatever that comes up there, I was like, holy smokes, that's probably double what I would have done 5 years ago on a regular visit. So then also that person who I'm quite connected with and they're like my person, I feel either bad that I didn't do like a full 20% or something, or I just do it. And then I come out of there feeling like crap about that experience because I spent more than I wanted to and I'm not sure I needed to.
So let's get to the psychological part of it.
Okay.
And it's about the feeling, how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And it's something I just want to rant about. And I like to think I don't rant much. It all happens inside my head. Don't make me rant about how you.
There's probably one point in every episode when both of us say like, I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay, right. Soapbox. Okay. So soapbox is this really what these big companies want? That feeling, because it's not gonna last long term. The feeling will last. My patronage is what I question.
Right.
Why? You know, Lindsay will always say, why is her North Star, right?
Yeah.
Why are we tipping? And everything shifted when it was like, because the people are not getting the work, the people are not getting paid enough. We are here to support these people. And when we knew what it's for, it's much like nonprofit and charities. And I did a lot of work for nonprofits to just really understand, you know, what drives donation.
Yeah.
And in that case, what it was same thing. When you're inundated constantly about that sort of guilt, don't you want to help a child in need? Don't you want to help this person, and don't you want to help people who are marginalized this way? And it's like, of course I want to help. But when you help, you do it because it makes you feel better. And that's what's gone, is the joy of feeling that. And the discovery we made was, if you want people to donate to your organization, they want to understand what the money's going toward. Mm-hmm. They want to understand how much of that money is going toward that thing. And they want to understand the overall impact that everyone's donation to this makes.
Yeah. And the thing about those things is that they need to be very clearly and concisely communicated, because also people don't have time to read a manifesto about their impact, right? It's got to be like, quick, tell me what you need and where it's going to go and tell how it's going to help change someone's life.
Yeah. Lindsay, I'm getting you a t-shirt. It's just, tell me why.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have to say anything at meetings.
Is it an NSYNC or a Backstreet Boys song where they're like, tell me why?
Backstreet Boys, don't get me going. It's on my playlist, don't tell anyone.
Okay.
So I'm like, God, you know, I feel like this has happened before, where, you know, the work culture was a big place where it was like, you know, oh my God, you know, there's the charity fund, and then there's this person asking to buy cookies from this person. It just got more like, I feel like my guilt is driving this, and I feel angry, or I feel bad. And this is absolutely the opposite of the gesture that I'm being asked to make.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of communications planning lately.
Ooh.
And like in those plan, like in that comms strategy kind of work, you have like what the role of the comms is, the key messages, like all of the different elements. Yep. And always at the very end, you're like, what's the customer or consumer takeaway? Like, what do you want them to say? What do you want them to think? What do you want them to feel coming out of that engagement and from that message, so that you can make sure you're delivering on that positive feeling versus this like guilt trip negative feeling that we're experiencing around tipping culture?
Yeah, it's that whole outcome. What do you want the outcome versus just the output of that transaction? Yeah. What lingers?
On an emotional level.
Yeah, what lingers? Because when high tipping is expected, the main perception is that the person that is serving you is underpaid.
Yeah, and they're relying on that money as their compensation.
Right. And I think Lindsay and I are looking at this saying, okay, clearly we have opinions and we've had experiences that we question, but our question is, how much longer, or my thinking is, what's going to be the impact of all these new restaurants and all these new franchises of big companies, fast food especially, where that's a thing now? How is that going to impact, or how is that impacting our sentiment towards the experience? So like, mm-hmm. There's drive-through, there's people who are ranting about, I call it the ransom, or talk about psychological warfare. Someone actually videoed something where the person at the drive-through asked if they wanted to tip because they had to input it.
Oh yeah, that's even trickier.
And it's like, listen, is that policy? Probably not. But how are we going to get over this hump? Because as a consumer, there was COVID happen, I actually started ordering in. That was a new behavior for me, because restaurants was the whole experience. We got to go out. So ordering was a new behavior.
Yeah.
It's almost back to zero because of, I don't know how much it's going to end up costing me as I order it. And I don't know. I feel like I have to make the tip, make the commitment before I've gotten any service.
Yeah. And then you also wonder if it's going to impact the service you do get at that point.
That's the biggest fear.
Yeah. When you order in, it's typically also not just the tip that's the additional fee, right? Like now there is the service fee, fuel fee, driver fee, tip, which like begs the question of how much do you want to know?
Exactly.
Around all of these additional things. This is my soapbox.
Yeah. Are you playing on that? Isn't that exactly what we say everyone wants? Everyone wants transparency.
Well, yeah, that's everyone is now like, we want to be authentic. We want it to be real. We want experiences to be transparent and show me what's going into everything. And at some point, I wonder now if that's actually true, because there are certain things that perhaps we don't want to know. Like, have you ever looked at and been infuriated by all of the line items on an airline ticket?
I don't even look, I'll be honest.
Yeah, you shouldn't, because it's fuel surcharge, baggage fee, like we're going to gift puppies at Christmas to all of our employees fee. It's the we swear we Lysol the plane fee. It's like a 400 fees, right?
Yeah.
People say they want hyper transparency, but the transparency is either infuriating them, providing a bad experience, perhaps giving them too much insight into all the operations of the business and the things that they need to pay for, versus what they want is something that feels seamless, where they're not being taken advantage of through all of these different fees and line items that come with the experience you're purchasing.
You know, I guess the path I've chosen to talk about, the journey I'm on, is to say, if I look at it, I don't look at it objectively. I look at it as me is, then we just don't go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I realized is this, like, it's this belief I have about money is a funny thing, and you cannot standardize people's perception of money because it's mm-hmm. so ingrained in their life. It's so ingrained in what they value. Everybody thinks different about it. So the way I look at it is, from a brand and marketing standpoint, if the behaviors that arose from COVID created this short-term change, I don't accept that this is a new normal. But this one woman who was doing a podcast, she said it perfectly. And she said, if you can't afford the tip, then you can't afford to go out.
Mm.
Exactly. So we're not going out, which brings up a topic that Lindsay has raised in the past. Define afford.
Yes.
Whether you can afford something or not is your decision. It's not a fact. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, because there's kind of two things around that. So some people can actually only afford certain things, right? Like you have
yes.
a certain budget and you need to eat, and you need to pay your rent, and those are basic necessities. So yes, you can or cannot afford certain things. On the other side of it is what you choose to afford. So if you have additional money, it's what you choose to be affording. And it's, I think there was a stat long time ago that where 80% of Canadians shop at Walmart. I'm sure it's more than that now. It's got to be almost 100%. In the last 3 months, 80% of Canadians shop at Walmart. 80% of Canadians don't need the base bottom prices, but it's smart to save money. So regardless of whether you can afford it or can't afford it, it's what you're in that moment, it's what you're choosing to afford. It's smart to save money, so why not?
It's the want part. If I say I can't afford a 25% tip, it's because I don't want to afford a 25% tip. So it's that really, it's back to that want thing is, what do I decide my level of generosity is, or more important, mm-hmm. it's a gratuity, my level of gratitude for the person who served me, who made the experience the best it could be. Do you know what I mean? Like, just because my food, if I have to send back my food because there's something wrong with it and the service is great and they're, you know, I will tip even more. Yeah,
they deserve that money.
Yeah. But the whole economics of it all has become so convoluted where there's just a lot of psychological concepts out there that I think is really interesting. Is it makes us feel uncomfortable. Someone referred to the whole design, the user interface design, as dark design, where the skip button is always the hardest button to see. The number choices are all like, they are not going to make it easy for you.
No, there's a lot of psychology that goes into all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you can't imagine it being reversed. Like, it's not like all of a sudden 5 years from now, it's going to be like, oh, 10% is what's expected. It's like, it's only going to increase. So like, at what point are we going to be like 50% gratuity? And then it's just like, well, that's what we pay now.
Yeah. And I think Canadians are particularly bad. They say Americans, but we're really bad because we're so non-confrontational. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Another psychological factor in the mix is like the idea of community, supporting your community yes. and the people in it. So like when I go to my local coffee shop and my coffee is like $1.50 less or $2 less than it would be at Starbucks, I feel like I can give them that money. I feel like I can be like, I expect my coffee to be $6.50. Now it's $4.50. You live around the corner from me. I don't want this small coffee shop to go away, and I want the people in it to feel good. And so like in that moment,
you decided
if I'm giving a generous tip, it's almost like, well, it was in my coffee budget anyways. And now I get this happy feeling of being able to support the people in my community and my local coffee shop. And it makes me feel part of a network and a local community that I want to feel a part of. So there's that idea of it as well, where sometimes with the smaller places, and I even remember this during COVID, where it was like takeout has been higher than ever, but in restaurant experiences have been lower than ever. And so they were selling like additional things, right? Like you could buy alcohol, you could buy bread, like fresh baked bread or whatever right. from the places. And it was like, please buy things from us so that we will be here eventually when everything opens back up. And I was like, yeah, I was spending more money than usual, but I felt really good about giving those businesses that money because I love them. I loved them before. I wanted them to be around after. And for me, it's kind of similar with tipping in smaller places. I'll give them really good tips, even if perhaps it seems like a lot, but it makes me feel a part of my community. So there's like that psychological layer as well, which is interesting.
Well, that's that part, I think, where it's like that. It's not like we consciously know it, but the stats tell us that if we don't have a sense of where that money's going, what it's for, we tend to think it goes, you know,
to the big person upstairs.
Yeah. And there's just all these different, like COVID just blew everything up. Where's it going to settle? Because like, yeah. Have we lost sight of what tipping culture what like the factors of tipping culture, but there are many tipping cultures. The question I have is, what are brands gonna do about it? And I have no idea, but all I can say as a, you know, brand experiences guy is I have dropped certain brands because there's an aspect of the regular experience where I feel like I'm just giving them money without knowing why.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. Because what I choose to afford is emotion based, and I question the transactions that now exist and the emotions they make us feel. What impact does it have on the overall experience, and what impact will that have on those brands?
Exactly. Especially around tipping and pricing and payment, because those are typically the last moment experience with your brand before the person's off to use the product or eat the food or whatever the case may be. So
yeah,
I think it's easy to design beautiful experience in the upfront of your brand, but it's difficult to make sure that you're still having a positive experience during some of those final moments. And so I think from a psychology perspective, from a communications perspective, those are the things really worth thinking through and leaning into so that you can ensure your customers are getting from you the feeling that they want to have.
Yeah. And this is a thing. It is a key new part of the transaction. And from a user experience, what if that actually erodes the equity in the brand through the experience? Does it leave a bad taste in their mouth? And at what point, mm-hmm. What if that's the thing? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What if?
I love that. What if?
Lindsay, thanks for a great conversation.
Yeah, awesome conversation. Thanks, Sean.
I'm just going to send you an email to ask you how much you want to tip me for this.
The answer is zero.
Okay. Just no guilt there, right?
No. Have a great day.
Bye. Bye, marketeers.
Bye, marketeers. Thanks for listening to the Two Marketeers podcast. New episodes launch every 2 weeks.
Find the Two Marketeers podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you like to listen. And be sure to rate and subscribe.
Listen on our website, thetwomarketeers.ca, or you can ask Alexa to play the Two Marketeers podcast.
Want to keep in touch? Follow the Two Marketeers on LinkedIn or at Two Marketeers on TikTok. We've always got something to share.
This podcast is over.